It's time for Twig This Week at Google. Jeff Jarvis, Stacey Higginbotham, they're both here. We're going to talk about that new social network, Vero, and why people are deleting it already. YouTube bringing back Logan Paul and the Google Clip Cam and why you probably don't want to buy it. It's all coming up next on This Week in Google.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 446, recorded Wednesday, February 28th, 2018. Kardashianated. This Week in Google is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/twig. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, the show where we talk about Google and everything else and under the sun. You know why I say that at the beginning of every darn show? So you don't send me an email saying you didn't talk about Google. Sometimes we talk about Google, sometimes not. We talk about whatever Jeff Jarvis wants to talk about. He's from the City University of New York, professor of journalism, buzzmachine.com. When you get hosts like Jeff and Stacey Higginbotham from the IoT podcast on a show, you just let them talk about whatever they're in the mood to talk about.
But it's like the president going off script. That's what this show is.
No. I can't believe you just compared yourself to the president. Whoa, what just happened?
No, we're not going to talk about that. Although, are you burned out yet, Jeff?
Oh, in some ways, yeah, but in other ways,
I was talking,
no,
we had a great conversation on Triangulation on Friday with a guy I'm sure you hate. He loves you, Andrew Keen.
Andrew's, I'll censor myself. No, I've said to Andrew's face, he's my favorite a-hole.
because he
plays at it. He tries to be. He's a provocateur. He tries so hard. But no, I like Andrew. No,
he's literate. He's a smart guy. He's funny. He wrote the Cult of the Amateur about 10 years ago now, which said the internet. It's you're making a mistake by being so democratic. And I, to some degree, I have to feel like he could take a victory lap now, because while you and I and everybody else are saying you're so wrong, yeah, this is the new one. How to Fix the Future. You're so wrong, Andrew. You know, the gatekeepers have fallen. Democracy will rule on the internet. It's going to be great. He was kind of right. But now he's got a very optimistic, upbeat book, I think. Have you read it yet?
I haven't. I've gone through bits of it. But he'd gone through all the pessimism he had. So he had to switch, you know.
Well, he said, and I think this is actually very true, that he likened it to the Industrial Revolution. He said, when you have these big technological revolutions, there's kind of, there are three camps. There's the camp, the Luddite camp that says, no, never, destroy the looms, you know, we're going to stick with candles and kerosene. Then there's the technologist camp, which I think I have at time to time fallen into, which says, yeah, there's going to be disruption, but in the end, it's going to all be better for everybody because technology will solve all these problems. And then he says you can't fall into either one of those traps. You've got to be in the maybe, not the yes or the no, but the maybe camp, where you acknowledge, and I think this is actually of always the reasonable middle, you acknowledge technology's brought us amazing things. It's also brought problems, and you address the problems in as difficult, as intractable, as challenging as they are.
Yes.
You work on them and you solve them. And I think that's your point of view, right?
No, absolutely it is. There are problems. There are things we've got to do. It's just I'm not ready to give up on technology and say, oh, let's throw it all out, because that's where I fear we're heading. People want to regulate it. They're afraid of it. And I don't think we're presenting an accurate vision of it. It's the same problem we talked about last week. You look at your Twitter feed and your Facebook feed, and it's not filled with Nazis. But if you listen to media, you would think the entire internet is nothing but Nazis.
The problem is one Nazi can just ruin your whole day.
Well, but that's a media way to look at it. That's like you saying a Nazi got into the New York Times, as opposed to saying, oh, there's one nutty Nazi on Times Square. Times Square.
Right. I don't know. Stacey's pretty bullish too, right? The problem with us, Stacey, as technologists, is we have to enjoy we are very aware of the changes.
Well, not only that, I think we benefit. We celebrate. Put the effort in to benefit from them and celebrate. And I feel like my parents, and I have lots of friends who are totally normal, and they help me guide my enthusiasms to maybe the more mainstream place. So I'm still bullish. And I mean, Jeff, we are having a backlash right now, but mm-hmm. it's not like technology is going to go away. It's not like we're all going to suddenly give up Facebook or our phones.
No, we are. We're all moving to Vero, the new social platform.
Oh, indeed.
Before everybody takes it out. So before we get there, just a second. So Stacey, I just read a book called, I think it's The End of Liberalism. And he basically is trying to get us back and all be Amish. there is that push.
Yeah, and I'm sure that one or two people might go for that, but it's not really worried about everyone.
It doesn't matter. It's not going to happen.
I agree.
There's no way it can happen. You're both right. You can argue, let's go back to kerosene lanterns and leeches and bloodletting, but it's not going to happen. So you have to deal with it. I mean, technology is a kind of inexorable force. Unless you go, I mean, I guess you could create, you could do what they do in some Sharia countries. You could turn your back on progressivism and technology. But I think it's always temporary.
And it's not, so I just, another new book I just got.
You like becoming, to read.
Well, I've been doing a lot of research. What you want to, if you can see this.
You showed us the pile. Yeah.
The pile of books.
I guess that's what makes you a professor.
The pile. Oh, look, that's one of four piles.
He's got
piles.
CNN on in the background, too.
No. Nicole Wallace, MSNBC.
Oh, that's right. You told me to watch Nicole. Yeah.
Daniel Bell, The Coming of Post-Industrial Society in the 70s, right? And so we've been scratching our heads about this for quite a while before the net.
Oh, God, forever. This is the human condition.
And I think we'll actually have some interesting things happening as China kind of rises in power, in not in the U.S. versus China, but collectivism versus individualism. So I think that'll be fun.
Does it trouble you, though, that just this week they announced that they were going to eliminate term limits for President Xi and they're going to go? That looks like a slide back into authoritarianism.
My wife was having a fit that she didn't see any coverage of it. Especially at first, there was a little bit more, but there was very little coverage of it. It's like, oh, yeah, of course they're doing that. It's Mao.
I mean, collectivism, actually, Andrew talks a lot about this in his book. I think it's becoming more and more clear that China has the will to do what we seem in the Western democracies to be losing the will to do, which is really invest heavily in things like artificial intelligence technologies. They're way out investing the United States in that. Because they're authoritarian, because they're authoritarian, mm-hmm. yeah. there's no debate over whether self-driving cars will either gain mass approval or not there. If President Xi decides, I think that's a good thing. Tomorrow, they'll have self-driving cars. So there's certainly, and it's always been the case, that authoritarianism has certain advantages over the roiling of politics in the Western democracies. But as democracies start to fight in between amongst themselves, I wonder if we're going to lose even more momentum.
Well, that was the argument of this End of Liberalism book, is that liberalism has gone to a limit, that it encouraged freedom so well that it's broken itself. I don't agree, of course, at all.
That's not, I could.
So let me read John Dewey. John Dewey quotes Carlyle. Carlyle was no admirer of democracy, but in a lucid moment, he said, invent the printing press and democracy is inevitable. Dewey says, add to this, invent the railways, the telephone, mass manufacturing, and concentration of population in urban centers, and some form of democratic government is, humanly speaking, inevitable.
I kind of agree.
So invent the internet and the globally connected world.
Yeah.
What's inevitable?
I also, it's one of the reasons I'm not a fan of sanctions. I know sanctions are one of the few ways nations can punish other nations. But I look at North Korea. Is isolating North Korea the best way to encourage democracy in North Korea? I would argue it's exactly the opposite. Invite I think the people who are sending USB drives, USB keys into North Korea with a Western programming are probably mm-hmm. doing more to bring down Kim Jong-un than our sanctions are, frankly. And sanctions just publish. I don't know how we got into this. Sanctions just punish the people. They don't publish, but they don't publish Kim. Punish Kim because he's gonna. He has access to all the resources of the country. He doesn't have to worry about it. They punish the normal people. So I don't know. That's another topic for. But what about Vero though? Really?
Seriously. Yeah. What about Vero? Sorry.
No, I'm like, how did we get into this? And I am woefully unprepared for no, world
you,
politics.
You have brains. You can talk about this. Right. So Vero is all the rage all of a sudden. What happened? It hit critical mass, right?
What happened? Yeah, was I in Germany when this happened? I feel like
it happened yesterday.
I missed it too. Yeah, exactly. And then on the rundown today, there's a movement to get everybody to uninstall Vero already.
Yeah, I didn't even install it, and they're already telling me to uninstall it. So it's a new social network created by an Israeli, I believe, who some people say has a checkered past, not in a criminal way, but just having a failed startup and not paying the employees or something like that.
And it's also evidently very hard to kill your account.
Yeah, I'm sure there's issues with it. Yeah. And one of the reasons that it's coming to the news is because all of a sudden, and this is really interesting, it's that hockey stick. It's been putting along for 6 months or so, and then suddenly something happened, and it turned the hockey stick, and exponential growth bringing their servers down. They apologize. We're experiencing higher than normal load. We're working to resume normal service. I downloaded it, reading about it, and I kind of like it. It's very media focused, right? So when you press the add button, and by the way, it's only iOS and Android. It is no desktop version. When you press the add button, you can create a post, but it focuses on content. So camera, link, music, movie, TV, book, or place. There's nowhere to just say type a text message. When you pick book, it actually goes through the top books on iBooks, but you can also do a search. So what was the name of your book, Jeff, so I can...
Oh, it's not going to be in there. Let's do Andrew Keen.
Okay.
How to Fix the Future.
How to Fix the... I'll just start the search there, see if it pops up with Andrew's... How to Fix a Broken Heart. Actually, that might be more useful. How to Fix the Future. Let's try that. Yeah, there it is. Andrew Keen. So you press that. It puts a big picture of the book on there. You have choices of buttons. Reading, want to read, recommend, don't recommend. So let me do recommend. Now you can put some text in. Just talked to Andrew on Twig, I guess I'll say. Oh, no, it was Triangulation, right?
Triangulation.
This is Twig. Triangulation, and I'll just leave it at that. You can't, as far as I tell, edit it. Now, this is also interesting. When you follow people or people follow you, you can categorize them. So let's do it again. You can choose.
Seems pretty complicated.
Well, no, once you do it.
Maybe we need complication to get quality.
Once you do it, it's pretty quick. So you choose close friends, or you can extend it to close friends and friends, close friends, friends and acquaintances, public.
So that's a clearer UI. Yeah.
Very straightforward.
Than Facebook.
Yep. It shows you below who that will be. So I'm going to share it with everybody who follows me is public, right? You can also, this is interesting, there's a Facebook and Twitter button. So if you want to add your Facebook and Twitter links, then it would be a central place for you to post to all three networks, and then you post it. And so as a result of that focus on content, I'm sorry about the glare. I got to keep it.
That notch is so stupid, too. Sorry.
You get a lot of the stuff that's in here is a lot of photographers, a lot of book and TV show recommendations. I think it's kind of
pretty.
So
it encourages something different.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like this. Now, there may be larger issues that aren't apparent from just looking at. I mean, the first issue, of course, is the issue any new social network suffers from, which is none of your friends are on it. So, but then on the other side, no Nazis. So that's good yet. And then and there's a way. By the way, you can have comments. So it's got a little Google Plus. It's got threaded comments as well. In fact, let me find one with a lot of comments so I can show you. So this is a little bit Google Plus-y, right? A comment section. The only thing I don't know about is the guy, the company, the policy, the service policy, all of that stuff.
But well, it sounds like, was it the Daily Beast did some reporting on the guy, the CEO, being not great?
Well, like what? How not great?
Let me pull it up.
See, this is the problem. I mean, that's the
According to a 2016 report from Reuters, details of how migrant construction workers were abandoned in desert camps without pay and basic resources.
It's like Dubai.
From a company called Saudi Ogre. In a statement, he said he wasn't involved in the company after 2013.
All right.
So who knows?
I think Gizmodo pointed out that, hold on, let me just double check.
There's also, if you read the terms, people are saying, oh, they're overreaching terms, but I don't think they're so much different than the terms of Instagram and Facebook.
They say that you own your stuff. You can't directly delete an account. You have to request a deletion.
Right. Here's Gizmodo's. We regret to inform you that Vero is bad.
So their update is that the Daily Beast, the CEO said, the Vero folks said that the Daily Beast was inaccurate. However, the only source to say that the CEO had left that Saudi Ogre firm in December 2013 was the CEO's own Wikipedia page, which had been edited anonymously to include this information as of yesterday.
It was his family's construction company. He was the deputy chief executive officer and vice chairman.
Yes.
Saudi Ogre was the source of most of his family. It's a terrible name. Might be Ogre. Might be, I don't know, probably means something different.
Ogre. Yeah, it's hard to.
31,000 complaints of non-payment for wages filed against the company. Saudi government stepped in to provide food and basic living supplies. I have to point out that this happens all the time in Dubai as well. I mean, this is kind of a. So I don't know. Well, that's an interesting question. Should you not use a social network because the guy who started it has a bad track record?
It depends on how bad it is. Is it abandoning people, immigrants in the middle of the desert to starve to death bad? Is it Broadcom CEO sex dungeon bad?
Right.
Is it?
Okay. I mean, Jeff won't even buy a basketball from Dick's Sporting Goods, or he wouldn't until now. So, you know.
Well, I mean, our society lets you make these calls yourself. You can say, I'd prefer not to do business with.
But what if this is interesting. So what if the software is really good, right?
There is a company in town that makes amazing frozen foods, frozen Italian foods, and they had a history of fines with OSHA and their workers losing limbs in their manufacturing plants.
But that's
so
the
I
same
said no.
Yeah, don't buy from that company because that's what you don't want. But this
but
was
the food was delicious.
Yeah, but I don't want to buy food from a company that limbs are being lost in. So that was this guy's company before. Nobody's asserting that Vero doesn't pay its employees or is leaving people to starve in the desert. And there is some question mark whether this what Hariri had to do with it. I don't know.
The CEO of this company, should he start another food company, I would not support it.
Okay, that makes
because
sense.
Because I think a casual disregard for human life is,
Okay,
well, but the problem is it's everybody has. So Ali Velshi today had a really good discussion with Scott Galloway and Stephanie Ruhle.
Author of The Four.
The Dix move. And
Dick's, Ali, we should say, for those who are not paying attention, Dick's Sporting Goods, which through a subsidiary or a resident store called Field & Stream, was selling...
And Carrabba's too, I think, yeah.
Assault rifles.
Cabela's.
Carrabba's is a restaurant, yes. You get pasta there, you get bullets at there. Yeah, sorry.
So Dick's, which continues to sell firearms because it's a sporting goods store, has decided not to sell AR-15s or assault weapons of any kind. And as a result...
To raise the age to 21 on any gun sales to sell no high-volume magazines.
And this is actually the part of a really kind of, to me, surprising national move against the NRA. I'm finding this very interesting because...
Did you watch the presidential meeting that was on an hour ago?
No, I'm busy. I'm working.
Oh, it was. I know. Well, yeah. So it was phenomenal. It was one of those things where he did the public thing with members of Congress from both parties.
Yeah.
And has a chat.
Yeah.
And so what you see
somebody
is
Hope Hicks or somebody has decided this is the best way to showcase the president.
Well, she's gone now, so that'll change.
She's gone?
She just
I gotta watch more TV.
Because she admitted she lied yesterday.
White lies.
Gray lies, white lies, purple lies, blue lies, lies. We're in five threads now.
Anyway, let's just do Dick's Sporting Goods. This stack goes all the way down.
Turtles all the way down. It's turtles on this show. Turtles and more.
But there is this move afoot, which is very interesting given how we've, you know, went through so many horrific mass murders that all of a sudden this is the one. And maybe it's the kids at Parkland. It probably is, right? But people we've had enough. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's the largest. And then also there was a really interesting graphic showing how when Columbine happened, the age of people who were affected by that are now of an age where, so they call it the Columbine generation. So if
that's
you Google
interesting.
That, I mean, it, yeah. There's also a huge political, I think there's both an effort to find things we can agree on and 83% of the U.S. supports some basic forms of, you know, banning assault rifles, raising limits. Like there are some basic rules about gun control that most Americans support. So, and then you've got these charismatic kids who, my God, the media is listening to them. They're putting them everywhere.
I think that's got to be it, right?
It is. And let us say again that this is the generation supposedly ruined by the internet, apathetic. Unable to put a sentence together, and instead they lived in media and they know how to be on media and they're being just absolutely brilliant, I think.
That's a very good point, Jeff.
Oh,
the internet made them who they are, yeah. You know, and some to some extent their parents did too, their schools did too, but it didn't ruin them. And it taught them how to be able to talk this way in some measure. They've been using social media just brilliantly.
I didn't realize this, but Dick's had removed assault-style rifles from their Dick's Sporting Stores after the Sandy Hook massacre. But now they've also removed them from the sale at the 35 Field and Stream stores. This is from Dick's statement.
Okay, so I get it.
That's I was good. A little confused because I was trying to remember the last time I've been in a Dick's and did I see...
Well, we have a big one here, and it's the sporting goods store in town. It's funny because Jeff tweeted... This came up because Jeff tweeted... I would like to buy a basketball from Dick's, but I don't need one. And then Megan...
I don't play basketball.
But Megan Maroney immediately did. She went and bought one. She said, I do need one.
Well, then, just to give the full credit here, so then someone named Brooks Grigson said, why don't you buy the basketball since you're such a klutz and you don't play basketball on your own? Buy it and give it to a school that needs it.
Good idea.
I said, brilliant idea. So I tweeted, boy, I wish Donors Choose would let you do that. And sure enough, Donors Choose comes back. And if you search on this, and you can look at my Twitter feed, and it's in there. There are schools that ask for things to be bought at Dick's, and by the way, Dick's does a one for one match.
Oh, that's neat.
So I went to two schools. Who wanted basketballs and stuff, and donated some. And Dick's doesn't probably make any profit on this, but it supports. What they did and supports the schools at the same time. So thank you, Brooks Grigson.
Megan was telling me that boycotts, according to Freakonomics, don't succeed nearly as well as the opposite, what you're doing, which is supporting a company by patronizing it.
Yeah, let's look up what's Dick's Sports.
Are they publicly held? Are you going to look up their stuff?
Oh, yes, they are. Oh, yeah.
Do they actually own Cabela's?
I thought I saw that, but I could be wrong. It was something that was going past my mind real quickly. So they're up 22 cents today. So this did not.
That's not a huge
knock them down at all.
Yeah. Well, there will be a backlash, right? There'll also be. This is actually an interesting.
Well, this is where you get the Georgia and Delta,
right?
Where Delta, having pulled, and all these companies did was pull their group discount plan from NRA members. It's not a big deal, but symbolic, and the Parkland teens got it to happen. And so when Delta, his background, did that, the lieutenant governor of Georgia pushed through, and I think the Senate indeed didn't pass a fuel tax benefit that was going to benefit Delta in Georgia. So they got politically punished for not siding with the NRA. This is from a side of the House that should be in favor of leaving business alone.
But to bring this back to tech, there's a very much a tech angle on this. I think one thing, which is that these kids in Parkland grew up as a generation of a digital native generation, and they were able to take advantage of these technologies, including mainstream media, to get the word out. That things like Donors Choose make it possible for you and others to participate in this. And frankly, I think companies like Dick's and all the other companies may have been less quick to act if it weren't for Twitter and social media, right?
Yes.
To feel the pressure, but B, to get the word out that they did it.
And the point you just made, to get the credit, I think, earlier I was saying that Ali Velshi was on his show with Scott Galloway. That's what led us back to this.
Oh, yes.
And, he said to his wife, so Amazon or what was it? The Amazon is still on Breitbart and Amazon this and Amazon that. He said, well, what if you and Amazon, I guess, still has its deal with the NRA. So stop Amazon. What are you going to do? Said his wife. Well, I'll go to Walmart. And the wife said, well, Walmart sells guns.
Luck. Yeah.
So. No one is pure, and running the world on single issues isn't going to work very well. We've got to be smarter than that. But you do have a power, and these teenagers from Parkland prove the power that you have. It's not, we don't give up on democracy, damn it. And the internet's enabling it, damn it. And it's not full of Nazis, damn it.
Right on. Right on. Meanwhile, you could go out and spend $249 on a crappy camera from Google.
Boy, is it getting smashed, huh?
So it's getting smashed in the reviews, but here's what I think. It's not totally ready for mainstream, but I actually surprisingly thought Farhad Manju had a good point about adding intelligence to cameras and letting cameras start making these judgments.
It's a camera that you put somewhere and you let it take pictures. You then put those pictures on your phone and it's choosing, right?
It chooses. I mean, there is a button where you can press it, but it chooses it. It basically is like, hey, this looks like a good moment to photograph, and then takes a picture. What I think is art is always defined by technology. It starts out defined by our technology, right? Yeah. So we had these wonderful portraits of people sitting very still and formal, because you had to sit still for a long time to take a picture. And looking at some of the pictures people have posted, especially of their kids, I'm like, this is not a traditional photograph that I would ever compose, but some of the moments are worth keeping. And I think we should keep that in mind.
Farhad took it to Disneyland and didn't take any photos for over 2 days, but had the Clips do the work. And he says, here's a clip of my son driving a car he wouldn't have taken, but Clips did. Now, I have to point out the quality's potato quality. It's terrible. But
yes.
And so that's disappointing because you might get great pictures or great. It looks like these are like little animated GIFs. But if the quality's terrible, which it is, it's kind of disappointing.
Some of them. But like, look at these kids dancing. I mean, the quality, like the framing and composition. Google can fix that. That's a software update when you're doing AI.
They can put
a
better camera in here too, obviously. I mean, they make a really excellent camera for their pixels, so there's no reason they couldn't have a better camera in here.
But it's kind of like redefining memories.
I think you're really right. Also perspective, Stacey. Remember when the very first Google Glass came out and people were swinging their kids around and you could see the face as if you were doing it. It changed perspective. You weren't having to hold the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I don't know. I mean,
not ready for purchase though.
Yeah, I wouldn't spend.
Google. Leo, you bought one, right?
No, I was going to, and then after reading all these negative reviews, I thought I don't. First of all, the reviews are done. I think that I don't need to. I don't need to add on to that. It's if there were a better camera in it, I would come back. I think it's a first attempt at something that will be interesting. But at this point, I don't want to spend money on that because it doesn't look like something anybody needs any more information about. Do you? Do you feel like you'd like to know what I think about this? No.
Oh, no. I would like
let's talk a bit of wasting money.
I think we know enough. I wasted $1,000 this morning on buying what? A Windows on ARM, the first Windows on ARM device from HP.
Wow.
That, you know, that is going to be a question. It was certainly a questionable price, the HP Envy 2. But I think that that's an example of something where we really have to, we have to take a look at it, because this is a genre of computing that is new. This is a LTE enabled Qualcomm 835 based portable from HP, at which at $600 would be very interesting. But unfortunately, they're charging $1,000 for it. But they say 22 hours on a battery charge, which would be quite interesting.
God, it's been so long since we've been, I feel like we've been talking about it since like 2008.
I know.
So I'm like, wow, finally. Okay.
Yeah, well, and it may not be finally, just like the Clips. Had I bought the Clips when, you know, I tried to buy it. When I first got the invite, I tried to buy it. And then they said, oh,
That's right.
You can't get it yet. And thank God, because I would have one right now if I had been able to. I was
able
to.
You could just give it
to
me. As a parent, I'm kind of interested.
Yeah,
in it.
I think it'd
as
be
a
more
parent, I always thought I'd be interested in it.
Yeah. Well, we have, you know, Farhad also mentioned one of our sponsors, Lighthouse, in his article. And that's, I think, and you were the one who told me about Lighthouse. And I think that's very a similar idea, a camera that only takes pictures when something of interest happens and then sends you a notification. In this case, it's a home security device. But I think that's also very interesting. I like the idea of AI in these cameras as long as you can trust your, you know, your privacy.
Well, there's the privacy. So there, this is what Farhad was getting at, is there's the privacy aspect with the vendors, but there's also the privacy aspect now that these cameras have the ability to alert a human. The ability, the cameras have the ability to make human judgments and then alert people.
Right.
And beforehand, people just didn't have the scale of, you know, computers can scale out crazily.
Yep.
So it's a little disturbing, I'll be honest. I'm like, you could have, if you had a jerk boss, you know, and let's say I work, you know, in a building, not at my house, you know, tell me every time Stacy comes in late.
Right.
Tell me every time Stacy comes in past 8:02.
Well, I am that jerk boss, because we had cameras in our old studio that had microphones on them. They were drop cams. Well, remember, that was a problem. John's saying, no, we didn't. But initially, when we first set them up, we were recording audio until we got some strong advice from employees.
That is illegal in California, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Because
did you see?
It was one thing to pick up what's going on in the public space, our studio, but another thing entirely to pick up conversations.
Yeah, that's creepy. Did you see the information just published this story? And so I put it on the rundown because I thought it was interesting that Google's in talks with construction companies to build apartments for its staff in Mountain View.
Would you live in Google?
A Google dorm?
Well, that's, I'm like, let's talk about surveillance and employees or employers crossing the line. Let's talk about this.
Well, these would be on campus.
Yeah.
Nearly 10,000 apartments. Well, this is just a natural evolution. I mean, really, these companies, Microsoft started this with their campus in Redmond. They would hire guys out of kids out of college, and they would make it look like a college campus and give you all sorts of incentive never to leave, including dry cleaning, food, babysitting, whatever you needed. And now this is just the logical next step, and might as well put some buildings, apartments in there, so you really don't have to ever go home.
For somebody who commutes basically an hour and 45 each way minimum, I'd take it.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
Foxconn does this. If you work at the Foxconn
factory. Oh, yeah, it's a city.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's part of China and their authoritarian.
Well,
I mean,
here's an interesting side note. Katera, the company that Google's talking to about doing this, has a significant investment from Foxconn.
It's prefab housing. That makes sense if you're in the fabrication business.
I can see if you're young, you don't have a family.
Yeah.
This would be fantastic.
And it's
but it is
if,
like,
if you have a starting job, it's prohibitive. You can't live anywhere near there.
Remember the Tennessee Ernie Ford song, right?
No. What?
16 tons.
Oh, my soul to the company store. Because in you know, if you were a coal miner, you lived in housing subsidized by the company. You had to buy, you didn't get paid. You got chits that were only good at the company store. They would lend you, so he owed his soul, because they would give you food, but now I have to continue to work here forever because I have to pay them back.
That is
similar in the sense of what happens if you're living in this Google apartment space and then you decide you want to leave Google or you're fired. Like, what kind of, right now you have 30
days.
I lost my job
and my apartment.
Yeah. See, that would be terrible. But nobody, I don't know what's happening at my house.
Nobody,
by the way,
your age, nobody that age thinks, oh, I'm going to lose my job. They don't think that.
Oh, my God. I think they all think that.
Oh, do they?
They're one of the most economically insecure generations.
Yeah, you're right.
And they don't have any illusions of businesses being loyal to them.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. This is, so in a way, this is the company store back again. Very interesting.
I just was like, oh, look, hello, dystopia.
Amazon buys our sponsor, the Ring Video Doorbell, for $1 billion. At least that's the...
It might be more.
More. We don't know because nobody's saying.
Yeah.
How much is Siminoff own of it?
Oh, I don't know. They raised $210 million over the last 6 years. So
okay.
And I love...
There's got to be.
People posted immediately on Twitter the video of Jamie the founder pitching, is it Zawinski pitching his video doorbell to the Shark Tank people who turned him down?
They turned him down with reason. That doorbell, the doorbot doorbell, was a piece of crap.
Yeah, but they could have had a chunk of Ring.
No one takes the Shark Tank deals. My friends who are on Shark Tank are like, don't do it. It's terrible terms.
It's a terrible deal. Yeah.
So, but I know people are like,
I show it to my students, how to pitch.
Oh.
Amazon's second biggest acquisition ever, according to Recode, between 1.2 and 1.8 billion.
Wow. Yeah, because Zappos was 1.2. Wow. So that's, if that's true, and it could be, and IHS
was
saying.
Whole Foods was what?
Whole Foods was 13.7.
Yeah, it was billion. It was the biggest by far. So this would be number two, only second only to the Whole Foods acquisition. So it's funny because Amazon actually in fact, we talked about this story. They talked to August. I think you like the August, right? You weren't here that week when we talked about this.
August doorbell? I don't like the doorbell.
Oh, not doorbell, the locks.
The locks are fine.
Yeah, they talked to August and then walked away from that deal and created Amazon Key.
Right.
Which was the thing that nobody should ever do, which allows the Amazon delivery person to walk into your house, put the package in your house and leave. And there's a camera and then there's a lock associated. So they developed that. And that wasn't so long ago. That was a few months ago. And now they bought Ring. But Ring doesn't make door locks, but they do make cameras. They make doorbells. They make security lights with cameras.
And one day, if they get over their ADT lawsuit, they may sell a security system.
That's right. They had a home security system that ADT stymied with a lawsuit. Interesting. Clearly, this has to do with... Well, I don't know what this has to do with. Clearly, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Do you want
about.
Me to explain it to you? Yes. I can even tie it back to Google if
please,
you'd like.
Please, please.
Okay. I wrote about this actually last night, and I took normally I do not cover news, but this was big enough. And I was like, I know what this is about. So what's happening is home security has been like the killer app for the Internet of Things. We all thought it was going to be home automation, but it's not.
Definitely home security.
So
smart doorbells is one of those, right?
Smart doorbells, smart cameras, all of that are the big winners. Yep. So what's happened is the market, it's basically for the last year or so, it's been a bloodbath. You're either going to win big or you're going to die or you're going to get acquired. So everybody's trying to get acquired. Ring was out raising money. Amazon saw what they could do after having Alexa and all this success in the smart home. They're like, well, shoot, this space is probably pretty good for us. We should get in on that. And so the Blink buy gets them the technology, the video processing technology at low powers that's really important for them. Ring is going to get the market share. IHS says there are about 1.2 million Ring doorbells out there. It's by far the largest video doorbell company with 45% of the market.
I'd like to take full responsibility for that.
Yes, you should. Yes. You should.
Yes. I should also note Ring is actually a sponsor of my show.
There you go. So we both can take responsibility.
So, well, no, I'm just noting because I'm talking about it. All those ethics. I won't take responsibility for it, but you should, Leo. Your audience is much bigger.
I think we pushed a lot of doorbells out the door.
There you go.
And they've been on for 2 years.
Ages.
Yeah.
So Ring basically now has the technology for a credible video system, and it has the market power and reach. And Ring for a long time was not it's doorbells. They don't make a lot of money on them if they make anything. So that's the other thing. I think getting a new video processor like the Blink video processor in there and having Amazon's cloud kind of capabilities should help it cut down on its materials.
That would make a lot of sense, actually. There's a synergy there that Amazon can bring to the table.
Right.
That would be very interesting. And after all, Echo and Ring have been worked together for some time. So, that all makes sense.
Oh, they are saying that Ring and ADT settled.
Apparently, one source says for $25 million, which is twice what Ring offered. This is some of the Bezos money, I would guess. Because after all, if you're going to acquire a company, you don't want them hobbled by lawsuits. So, Ring is apparently settled.
At CES, I heard they were very close to settling. But again, and I heard that from multiple sources.
Well, ADT accomplished what it wanted to. Which was
keep Ring out of the market over the
Christmas, over the holiday buying season. So, Jason Calacanis says the biggest loser in Amazon Ring deal is alarm company ADT. So there,
I think the biggest loser is going to be all of the. It's actually probably going to be us or anybody who buys into, who wanted multiple ecosystems, because what we're seeing is a Google ecosystem,
Amazon,
Amazon ecosystem. Yep. Maybe Apple.
That makes me very sad. Well, Apple pioneered the whole idea. And Apple...
No, they didn't.
Of ecosystem plays?
Oh. I was like, smart home stuff? No.
Not of smart homes. No, but of ecosystem plays. Apple, more than any company, one of the reasons Apple is so valuable is because they were able to create an ecosystem, and they've been, really nasty about keeping others out of that ecosystem. They want to own it 100%. And in fact, iTunes for Windows is about the only chink in that armor out there. And so you got to look at that and say, well, that worked pretty well. And I'm sure that that's exactly what Amazon and Google are looking at. It's bad for consumers. Consumers like you, Stacey, want a heterogeneous system.
I think it'll be better for the industry if there's heterogeneous systems, just because.
Well, there could be innovation.
More companies will develop for it, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But also, look at now what happens if you're Skybell, or if you're another Canary, or are your Nest cameras going to continue to work on your, Amazon or whatever? Your Ring stuff continue to work on like the upcoming Google screen efforts,
now,
Google home screen efforts?
What's unknown, Amazon bought Audible as well and has not changed anything about Audible as far as I can tell. So what's unknown is how much Amazon will change Ring's business.
They say right now, the sources in the industry say that Ring is going to run it like Zappos or Audible.
Right. Zappos is a really good example.
Yeah.
But I would say Zappos is quite independent. I think that Audible got a lot of marketing advantages, obviously, from Amazon.
Yeah,
right. Marketing and billing. It's so seamless now. That I'm doing both.
Audible's not a hardware maker, so that's easy.
So
if you sell shoes, that's different. If you make doorbells, that's different.
Right. Yes. Zappos can even do its crazy, what is it? The heliotocracy? What is that? What do they call that? Their management style? Whatever that is.
Chat room.
Not at all like Amazon management.
What's it called, chat room?
I'll just Google it.
Heliotocracy?
You'd think Google.
Chat room has no comment.
They're Googling it too. They're just faster Googlers than we are. That's all.
That's Human Google.
I've seen that word once.
Holacracy.
Holacracy or holocracy?
H-O-L-A-cracy.
Yeah, holacracy. That sounds right, yeah. So. Katie Couric is no longer at Yahoo, and now we know why. She says, they hired all these famous big names, and they treated us like we were in the witness protection program.
What?
Katie's funny.
This is like a Katie. Joint interview with Kara Swisher, Recode, and Katie Couric's own podcast. She said, I don't think that, she said, during her tenure at Yahoo, Couric sought to do the high-quality journalism rather than the low-rent stories Yahoo was best known for at the time, which she likened to the boy who lived on ramen noodles for 13 years. You won't believe what happened next. She said Marissa Meyer was open to these aspirations but didn't follow through. I don't think she ever understood the commitment that would take, Couric said. I think she had a lot of other things on her plate, in fairness. I wouldn't say it was an unhappy marriage, but it was certainly was not fulfilling for me. I had all this great content. I was getting big interviews, and it was sort of like a tree falling in a forest. They didn't put it on the front page, or they didn't know how to, even now.
Yep.
They don't have very good distribution. They really don't know how to market things properly. They didn't know how to take quality and make it scalable.
I had coffee with Katie before she went there, and she really was going to try to rethink video news and was open to all that, and she had a very smart staff, and yeah, nothing really much came of it.
She is a wordsmith. Listen to this quote.
She's good.
She's really good. These tech companies are not media companies. They do not care about stories, about content, about true connection. I think they care about widgets and gadgets and delivery systems, but they aren't super interested in the vegetable soup that's running through the pipes. I think the secret sauce is people who are technologically savvy but also respect and care about storytelling. The company that combines those two things is going to win the day. I haven't really found it yet. Katie, I've got a $1,000 check in my pocket that says you belong at Twit.
Should we try to get Katie on the show?
Yeah, you could. You know her.
I'll ask her.
Yeah.
I'll ask her. Yeah.
She has her own podcast.
There's somebody else I was going to ask, and I forgot to tell you what I was asking, so I'll do that too.
She, by the way, she hates the name Oath. She told Tim Armstrong the company should be called Rise. R-I-Z-E as both an optimistic brand and a play on the word Ryzen, Verizon. But I think the new name was already locked in. Katie says, I think they paid a lot of money to come up with Oath. Whatever. Whatever. Let's take a break.
Go for it.
I now know what you look like. You look like, Stacey, like you're in the show The Leftovers. Did you ever see that?
Yes, that's it. That's it, yes.
Oh, because I'm wearing my big shirt, my big white shirt, apparently.
Your white caftan. Actually, you look great. It's very flattering. It's very, normally you don't wear white on TV, but you look like an angel, I'll be honest with you.
There's a glow.
And I look like the devil. It is, I'm wearing my
yeah, that is a Bush my jacket.
LL Bean Bush jacket.
I like it.
Well,
looks like you were headed to Dick's to buy some guns.
Yeah, I know. I almost wore my pith helmet to work today. Jeff Jarvis is also here from the City University of New York. It's always a pleasure, you guys. This is really, to me, it's great to have Kevin Toefel on. He was wonderful last week. And the others who we took two people to fill in for Stacey last week, but really it's best. This is my favorite configuration of.
I didn't realize this until just now. Jeff is the dark half, and I'm the light half.
I know. Look at this. I'm glad I wore green.
You're neutral.
I'm a neutral.
If I tried to wear that, my face would just disappear.
Well, yeah.
The camera would be so confused; it wouldn't know what to do. Or maybe that would work. Maybe I should do that. Maybe then the camera would know what to do.
I have makeup on, Jeff. It helps.
Nothing will help me.
Jeff, a little rouge, maybe some lip gloss.
I'd be pinker.
Oh, I forgot. I got my LED eyelashes. I forgot to bring them in.
No. Oh, Leo.
Leo?
Oh, send someone to your house right now. Oh, no. Leo.
This is a Kickstarter I bought a year ago. 1,000 competitors beat them to the market by months for a lot less money. They finally came. And because I think you were the one who told me about them, right, Stacey?
I think so. Well, yeah. I didn't tell you to buy them. I just was like, hey, these exist. They're awesome.
Well, that was the best. Let's get Leo to waste money day we've ever had.
It was a good day. Now we want to see. So next week,
Well, no,
Leo,
you're
going to be
next
at South by.
I'll wear them to South by.
No, we want to see them on camera. You can't deprive your audience.
All right. I'll wear them next week.
Thank you, Stacey.
By the way, I will not. You'll be here next week because you're not traveling anywhere. You live in Austin. But I will have to leave early next week because we have to fly to Austin. We are going to be at South by Southwest. Very excited. Stacey is going to be hosting a panel. I'll be on the panel along with other security experts at Antone's, at the Capital One House at Antone's. It's an early morning session on Friday the 9th, March 9th.
With breakfast tacos.
Yeah.
Breakfast tacos.
Yeah.
There better be breakfast. I was promised breakfast tacos.
From Taco Deli. I know. I'm taking this very seriously. Even if I have to go.
Because it's costing you a fortune, Leo. Now you're buying tacos for a multitude.
I didn't say everybody. Just for Stacey and you.
Oh, just Stacey. Okay, that's good. All right. That's good. Yeah.
So that'll be fun. That's 8:30 a.m. Antone's on March 9th, Friday. There is a meetup if you'd like to come the night before, an open non-hosted meat house, open bar, meat house.
It's called a meetup, M-E-A-T.
A meetup at the barbecue. Meat house, at Friedman's Meat House. So that's a big barbecue place, in a new one in Austin. And I think we're starting 5:30 to 7:30, something like that. But
I'll be there.
Are you going to come? Oh, great.
I am.
I will buy you dinner. And I think Wendy said she's going to come. She's from Austin. She's on our panel.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to get as many people as we can. And, of course, you're welcome.
Well, Leo's not buying everybody dinner.
No, it's open. It's an open bar? No host. Open bar means you can drink on my tab. It's not that.
Yeah, you don't know. That's not that.
It's no host.
No host. Leo is not the host.
I'm paying for anything.
If you show up, you get to talk to Leo while
Stacey.
He's eating stuff he bought.
And I'll have sauce all over myself. It'll be great. It'll be great. I love going to Austin. I miss South by, so I'm really excited about getting to go to that. So Friedman's Meat House. No, I don't think they call themselves that, but it's a barbecue. And then the next day at Anton's, next morning at Anton's. Don't reverse that. And then I think Jason Howell will be on the show next week hosting. And then I'll be back in 2 weeks.
That's what Karsten told me.
With LED eyelashes.
Yes.
How about that?
Did you know that there's a German magazine, very popular, very well-done magazine, that's all about beef? Beef.de.
Not surprised.
Yeah, I would think it'd be about pig.
Meat house and taking in beef. You're gonna be cholesterol.
Wow.
Beef.
Manna kokenandes. Hammer beef.
Men cooking and other stuff.
Ah, Haxenstadt Schnitzel. Steakmesser, Kochmesser, and eine Perfumule.
I like the exclamation point after the beef.
Yeah.
It's not enough to have a whole magazine.
De beef.
Enthusiastic.
Beef. But beef's not a German. What's the German word for beef?
Fleisch.
Fleisch. That would not be a good word.
Gross.
That would be a really gross name for a magazine.
Yeah.
And right on the front, United Steaks says, United Steaks of America. So beef.
So the meat house, the meat magazine, it's meat time.
Oh, look, they have a fold-out. every month there's a fold-out. This month, the perfect burger.
Perfect burger.
Nice. Oh, Leo, I saw something for you to buy.
It's a gatefold.
They have the beef dry ager.
Ooh, I might need that.
Scroll down that page. There's a big, this is major, this is serious beef ager. Keep going.
Wow.
There you go. Ooh. Die besten Steaks der Welt. By Ihnen zu Hause. You too can have this at home.
You too could have this at home. I don't know if I really want this at home.
That's serial killer stuff. Imagine that next to your wine fridge.
Oh,
and
God.
People are walking in and they're like,
what's that hanging there?
We talked about.
Oh, my God. We went over to Leo's and he had something hanging. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What? There's something else. If you go down further, there's the beef beefer. 800 degrees for the perfect steak.
Oh, no, I have that.
Keep going down. Keep going down.
I have that.
More.
I have a grill called the Solaire that cooks at 1,000 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like
there
that.
It is.
Yeah, it's like that.
You have that?
Well, not that. I have. Mine's a grill, actually.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. 1,000 degrees.
Wow.
So the idea.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, actually, that is. That go right next to the beef hanging in the window.
I didn't mean to.
I'm going to turn my house into one of those Brazilian barbecues with the swords.
Churrascaria, whatever.
The one in Austin has meat hanging in the window.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, there's a bunch in Austin.
Yeah.
I went in there during the South by Southwest one year. I went in with a colleague who was Hindu, and he just said, from the smell of the place, he said, I just can't go in here. I can't do it.
I can't go here. No, I don't blame him. I can't. It's like you're eating God.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
No.
We actually are talking, believe it or not. Oh, we have two new sponsors.
I saw the other one. I'm very excited about. Is it going to be on Twig? Please.
Is it going to be on Twig? I think Wink will be on this show. I'm sure Wink will be on this show.
What's our actual sponsor that we were trying to cut to something before we got derailed?
Everybody needs a home loan. Everybody needs. That's what I'm talking about. A home loan. Very few of us can write a check for your, you know, I'll pay cash. No, you got to get a mortgage. Or maybe you already have a home loan and you're looking at interest rates and they're starting to go up and you're thinking, I better lock in these great interest rates if you've got an adjustable mortgage. And this is the time to go to Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans, the number one lender in the country. You've heard me talk about them before. Number one in your hearts anyway. Number one year after year for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. 8 years running now. But they've done something now that Quicken Loans has that makes them even more adorable in my estimation. They are creating something that you can do. A loan approval process is completely online. They realized that getting a home loan was kind of stuck in the 19th century. It needed a client-focused kind of technological revolution, and nobody better to do it than Quicken Loans. They're very technologically focused. So they created this Rocket Mortgage. It's so fast and easy. You could do it on your phone. You could do it on the golf course. You could do it at an open house. You could do it right now before this commercial's over. Just go to rocketmortgage.com/twig. Answer a few simple questions. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button, so you don't have to go to the attic and get pay stubs or bank statements. It's all done online quickly and instantly for you. Based on your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all the home loan options for which you qualify and find the one that's just right for you. You apply simply. You'll understand it fully because you choose the rate, the term, the down payment. You get to choose what you want and then mortgage confidently with Rocket Mortgage. Go to rocketmortgage.com/twig. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states at MLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. You might want to bookmark this for when you are about to buy a house, or maybe, you know what? Go there now, rocketmortgage.com/twig. Create an account, sign up, give them the basic information, and then you'll be minutes away from a home loan. Anytime you see something, you're at an open house, let's buy it. You get that big green button. You're approved. Rocketmortgage.com/twig. We thank them so much for their support of This Week in Google. I love the register.co.uk. They're really kind of knocking it out of the park. The latest story from the Register, a U.S. watchdog just gave up trying to get Google to explain YouTube's huge financial figures. Don't you worry your pretty little heads about it, says web giant. Kieran McCarthy, who's great, writing in San Francisco. In a series of alternately baffling, amusing, and darn right ridiculous letters, Google parent Alphabet has told America's financial watchdog, the Securities and Exchange Commission, to mind its own business when it comes to income. On Monday, the SEC published 6 months' worth of correspondence between its staff and the online giant, in which the regulator repeatedly asked Google to explain, why don't you break your revenue out into, business segments? The nerds at the chocolate factory told the anti-fraud officials it was probably too complicated for their little heads to figure out. Google, but they're not the only ones. Microsoft, Apple, none of these companies break out their financials. And apparently they're not required to, although maybe the SEC disagrees.
Yeah, the SEC does. I mean, Amazon had to finally start reporting its cloud revenue once it became material.
It's based on a new rule, new as of last summer, that says investors in a public company, this is, by the way, the whole rationale for this, should see the same top-level financial information the CEO sees. If you're investing in a company, you have a right to see the company's financials. And you don't, it's not right for you to hide stuff from people who are putting their money into your business.
Which leads to the next story about what do Larry and Sergey and Sundar and company each do differently?
Right. And
so this was interesting too. Larry sets Sundar's pay, but nobody below Sundar, for example.
So, and Sundar sets everybody else's pay.
Mm-hmm.
Who sets Larry's pay? The board.
The board. Yeah.
Yeah. Who sets the board's pay?
Larry.
There's the problem.
The HR person who's in charge of the compensation committee.
And who sets her pay?
Doesn't one of them just take a dollar, though? Her pay is set by the CEO.
Right. That's actually a problem in America in general, which is the boards do whatever the CEO wants because there's a scratch, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours thing. And this is why we have CEO compensation. Well, take a look at Evan Spiegel, the creator of
CEO
Snap.
CEO compensation inflation.
Yeah. So Snap, is Snap profitable?
No.
Snap. Well, here's the good news. Snap lost $100 million less this year than they did last year. Last year they lost $200 million. They only lost $110 million this year. But CEO Evan Spiegel got paid, how much would you guess? $638 million. That's the biggest CEO pay award since Tim Cook took over for Steve Jobs and got a big jumbo piece of the pie. Well, and the problem is the board, which does, I'm pretty sure in most cases, determine CEO compensation.
They
have no interest maybe they should. The salary was 77% of Snap's revenue for the year.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, I would not. What's weird is people are still investing in this, which is crazy to me because, like, why would you invest in that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Snap's really struggling, aren't they? I mean, their stock.
Well, no, Snap. We did the story last week. Snap had a good quarter.
Yeah, they didn't lose as much money. They had a good quarter.
No, but it was better than that.
It's better than that. They only lost $110 million. That's a good quarter, I guess. I don't know.
Wait, didn't they have issues with Kylie Jenner? Did that happen this week?
So when Kylie Jenner tweeted. Yeah. Did we do this last week? No, I don't think we did.
We did this. We did part of it last week.
Did we?
We did the controversy about Snap last week. We didn't do Kylie Jenner.
So February 22nd. So that was the day after we did Twig last week. Kylie Jenner tweets. So does anyone else not open Snapchat anymore? Or is it just me? Ugh. This is so sad. Snapchat, as a result, loses $1.3 billion in stock market value.
This is a sick society and economy we're in.
Actually, let's be really fair and honest. It also, the same day, an analyst downgraded them from hold to sell. And the market is in general kind of looking, and it has to do a little bit too, I imagine, with Evan Spiegel's amazing compensation.
Yeah.
And concern mostly that Facebook and Instagram are starting to eat them alive. It's also because there's been a revolt. 1.3 million people signed the Snap. This is what we talked about last week. The Snap, the petition to say at change.org to say, please change back to the old UI. So it all adds up to a big stock loss. But Kylie Jenner didn't help. Let's put it that way.
And she sells headlines. And you can put her face on your story and it's easy to find and nice.
And Leo will repeat it because he's looking for any reason to do a Kylie Jenner voice.
Okay, that is not a Kylie Jenner voice.
I don't know how she sounds. That's the beauty of it.
In his head.
That's just a jerk guy doing a teenage girl voice. I mean, that's kind of what that voice was.
Jerk?
It is.
Jerk?
Kind of,
she just call you a jerk? You call
it is
Leo
a stereotypical jerk guy way of talking about a teenage girl.
She called you a jerk
first
and
of all,
a stereotype.
I don't believe Kylie's a teenager anymore.
Well, no,
that's her
she's
point.
Not.
I'm sorry. Now I have to listen to some Kylie Jenner video. Oh. I want to see.
I'm sick of people being mean to teenage girls. They have it real tough.
But Jenner's?
She's 20 now, okay?
Okay. And she has a kid. I mean.
Oh, well. I can't find any Kylie Jenner audio.
You can't? She's on a TV show.
the internet, it's broken. Yeah, she's everywhere.
Yeah. It's all on Snapchat, and she pulled it. It disappeared after 24 hours. I don't even know who she is. Is that
Kylie Jenner?
She related
she's
to
on
Bruce
YouTube.
Jenner?
Wait a second.
Yes, she's one of the Kardashian yes. people. She's related to
Is it Kylie Jenner, Kardashian Jenner?
No. Kylie and her sister.
And you're yelling at me for doing a Valley Girl voice?
Yes, I am. I think
hey, when I do Valley Boys, I talk like this, man. I mean, I make fun of them both equally.
Uh-oh. Did you find her?
Uh-oh.
I think so. We'll see if she talks. No,
That's the problem. Oh. Kylie never speaks.
No.
Is that Sorry. Her scream? So I apologize for offending.
To our daughter. Here she is.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here's Kylie Jenner exclusive interview.
You got it? Okay.
Can I play it? Let me play it from here. Is this the To Our Daughter video?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know if she speaks there or not.
Are we going?
Yeah, we're going. Here we go.
And we're waiting for you, Kylie. Right there.
She's pointing.
It's going to be okay.
Oh, she's cute. Okay. Apparently she's having a baby.
Yeah, we are.
There you go. I'm waiting for you.
Oh, my God, Chris, she's beautiful.
Oh, she sounds... Oh, no, that wasn't her.
You know, Kylie.
Look at her, you guys.
That's her.
All right, she sounds normal. I apologize, Kylie. You sound normal.
Whatever your name is going to be.
Oh, that kind of sounded.
I found out about you.
Is that her?
I don't know. Maybe.
That's somebody else.
That's somebody else. That's a friend. You're right.
We're living our lives, having fun. She met your father.
Oh, yeah, that's her friend.
And they just hit it off. Chemistry.
You don't think what I did sounds a little bit like that?
That's not
all right enough. Kylie. Okay, her friend. I was doing her friend reading Kylie's tweet.
Okay, fine. I just
somebody said the show is being Kardashian-assassinated.
By the way, speaking of the SEC, which we worked on minutes ago, yes. They've launched a cryptocurrency probe.
That sounds painful.
Yep.
On whom?
They subpoenaed.
Can they unlock my Bitcoin wallet? Because that would be that's a probe worth taking. Google beta tests Flutter toolkit for better cross-platform apps. We were talking about this on Windows Weekly, and I didn't understand it then either. The idea is, I guess, that you build an app for both iOS and Android with one open source toolkit. They're native apps. Ooh, and here's a little bonus for Google. They also work with Google's new OS, Fuchsia. This was announced at Mobile World Congress. Flutter is officially in beta. Let's watch the video.
Mobile users expect their apps to have beautiful designs, smooth animations, and great performance. To deliver on this, developers need to create new features faster than ever without compromising on quality or performance. That's why we built Flutter. Flutter is Google's mobile UI framework that provides a fast and expressive way for
How would Tom Brokaw say Flutter? Flutter. Flutter.
Developers to build native apps on both iOS and Android. This is because apps and interfaces made with Flutter are built from a single code base, compiled directly to native ARM code, use the GPU, and can access platform APIs and services.
This is not informative. This is just
not.
Some silly video.
I'd rather watch the Waymo video.
Oh, is there a Waymo video?
You watch
video?
The Waymo video? Yeah, it's cool. It's on the one. It's
this,
very
this
cool.
This is how self-driving
it's also trying
cars
to be,
work.
This is, you will like the future in our hands. It will be okay. You will be fine.
It's a 360 experience. So while we're doing this, I will...
Back in 2009, in our early days at...
Whoop. I clicked the button.
Leo?
We started working on self-driving cars. Today, we're called Waymo, and our fully self-driving cars are on the road. They use a range of technology we've built from the ground up
Ooh, look.
To understand the world around them and get you where you need to go.
Sees things.
You're about to see how it all works.
Okay.
And what it feels like.
There's
to ride
the Waymobile.
As it drives, Waymo uses LiDAR, which sends out millions of laser beams per second to build up a detailed picture of the world all 360 degrees around it.
That's neat.
It also uses radar to detect how far away objects are and their speed. And high-resolution cameras detect visual information, like whether a traffic signal is red or green. It then combines all that data to understand the world around it. For example, in this fraction of a second, it knows exactly where it is on the road.
It's going,
it can also
there's a cop!
Everything around it in full 360 degrees. And then predict what those things might do next.
That's the thing that's interesting, right? What would those things do next?
And it doesn't just do that for the objects you and I can see.
This is cool.
It can do that for things up to 3 football fields away.
How does it do that?
Well,
what makes LiDAR itself right now possible is experience. Waymo has already self-driven millions of miles on complicated city streets, and it's constantly learning from every single mile it drives.
There's the Waymobile.
With all that knowledge, it can plan a safe path ahead. In this instance, giving that cyclist enough room to cycle past us, and also looking out for that pedestrian on the sidewalk.
That's better than I can do. I'd hit
now,
one
when
or
it
the
comes
other.
To making decisions,
oh, look.
This is a good example of
see
how Waymo
small child?
Doesn't just take into account your safety. It also makes sure that both you and the people around you feel secure and at ease.
That, by the way, that's really important. That's a psychological thing, not a tactical driving thing. But it errs on the side of reassuring you, right?
So now that you know how Waymo works, it's time to take your first ride in one of our cars.
Ooh.
So this is, again, 360. I don't want to do too much.
We're in the back seats of a car.
Yeah, because I don't want to make you queasy.
Some things might immediately stand out. The fact that there's no one in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stands out.
Yeah. And the screens.
Well, why am I sitting in the back seat if there's no driver?
And the route it's taking.
Shouldn't there just be one seat?
You also notice that the ride feels a lot like being driven in a regular car.
I like it that we have displays about what's going on, you know.
Yeah, with the car scene.
Yeah.
That's the way it should
Tesla,
be.
As you know, Stacey, because you have one, does that, which is, and that's very helpful when your autopilot's engaged. You can kind of.
Yeah, when you're like, does it see this? I don't know if it sees this.
Yeah.
All this technology, which allows Waymo to see, identify, predict, and plan, should make an extraordinary ride feel completely ordinary and create a very normal journey that simply gets you from A to B safe and sound.
It's interesting that they still have cars with front seats and back seats and a driver's seat.
All you have to do is sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Well, they just got cleared to test without a driver.
Wow.
California.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you get in one of those?
Yeah, because I'm crazy. Wouldn't you buy neon eyelashes?
It's no worse than teaching your teenager to drive.
Yeah.
Right?
It's probably much less worse.
That's really a nightmare. And in fact, I was thinking about it the other day. The only way I got through it is by just assuming that I was going to die. It's like, well, probably I'm going to die now. But, you know, I've had a good life, and I'm just going to, you know, go with it.
My family just took me to the driver's ed place, so they would have all the pain.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to do with Michael. He's 15. He'll be getting his learner's permit in a few months.
Does he want to? I'm wondering if Anna will ever get her learner's permit. She's 11.
You know, my son, my biological son, Michael's my stepson, Henry, who's now 23, he deferred it till he was 18. In California, you can get a permit when you're 15 and a half and drive when you're 16. He didn't get it till he was 18.
Yeah, my daughter was quite the same way.
My daughter, like the minute she could go in the DMV to get the permit, she did the day, like she was waiting at the door. So it's just different people. But I know Michael wants to learn because his father's a car buff. And so he's already decided which car he's going to take to the driver's test.
Oh.
Which car he's going to learn in. Which, you know, he's got the whole plan in his head already. So I'm not looking forward to that. But I don't think I'll have to sit next to him. I do remember sitting next to Abby and literally thinking, you know, just kind of being, I guess, kind of fatalistic about it. Like, well, what are you going to do? Otherwise, you're screaming the whole time. That's unseemly. And makes it more likely that she's going to run into something, right?
I'm like, that's unseemly. Anxiety.
Watch out. Pressing your imaginary brake. Or you reach for the wheel, which is very dangerous, right?
Yes. Should not do that, Dad.
Alphabets.
Yeah, I'm going to hope I don't have to deal with this.
Yeah, it's not fun. But it's, you know, it's part of parenthood. Having a teenager is not fun enough for many, many, many reasons. Alphabets verily
for them
is also. So we saw Amazon joining with Berkshire Hathaway and J.P. Morgan to do health. Apple has announced it's going to do healthcare for its employees, AC Healthcare. And now Verily is plotting a move into the health insurance industry. That's Google's, or I should say Alphabet's, life extension company. Right? Verily's the life extension company.
Mm-hmm.
Or healthcare.
The contact for
contact
diabetes lines. And other stuff.
They're in 2016, Mould jointly putting in a proposal with Alphabet-backed Oscar Health to manage health care for thousands of low-income Rhode Island residents on Medicaid. Oscar, I should mention, was a sponsor and is run by Jared Kushner's brother.
Hmm.
Little side note. It's an interesting startup. The idea is to use technology to do a more effective healthcare solution, but it's only available in a few states.
So they're going to work together to do what?
They're going to reduce the cost and take part of that benefit. And what's interesting to me, the way the story put it was that it's all about that they're all interested in going into areas of risk. They think they can reduce risk.
In other words, serve people who really need it most, the riskiest part of the population.
Well, is that it? Or they're trying to reduce the overall risk and thus economic benefit?
But I mean, here's the low income Rhode Island residents. These are high risk insured, and they're hard to get insurance for.
If they can reduce the risk for them, they can do it for anyone, I think, is kind of it.
Okay.
Taking on health risk is a different order of magnitude of complexity than what we see in the other industries.
Right.
To make a dent in health spending, experts say companies need to have the right blend of talent and resources or risk losing money if it costs escalate. Yeah, I mean, look, if you're a low risk, it's easy to get health insurance. And it's right? Right, puppy?
Yes.
It's less expensive. But that's not who needs health insurance. And that's the whole idea of, you know, this whole idea of having a forced insurance and all that is to get a larger pool of both healthy and unhealthy people. Let's see. Google. is this my typo or yours, Karsten? It's an article about Google Word Coach, but it's written
that's
here.
Me.
Google Word Couch.
I guess I need it.
Google Word Couch.
Sorry.
A fun game in the search results. I haven't seen this.
Well, because I think we speak English.
Oh.
This is to learn English.
Oh, neat. So when you do a search, it triggers a dictionary or translate box. Google may show you this word coach. It helps you expand English language vocabulary in a fun and engaging way. So that's cool. Which word is similar to strength?
Oh, I want this for Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Please, Google. Are you listening, Google?
It currently is only available in non-English speaking countries and in India, which is an English speaking country, but it's where it's available.
So another Google story, if I may.
Yes, please.
A rare win for Google in Germany's courts. Germany's highest court rules that Google is not obligated to ensure websites are free from defamatory content before displaying links. So somebody who had a right to be forgotten claim said, not only do we want you to take that down, we want you to never let anything bad like that come up again.
Right.
And the court said, no, that's not their job. And the court also stood up for search engines and the value of them.
Because here in the United States, the House of Representatives yesterday voted the exact opposite. This is FOSTA, the Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act, allows for private lawsuits and criminal prosecutions against internet platforms and websites based on the actions of their users. It overturns Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act,
which is our First
Safe Harbor.
Folks.
Yeah, it's Safe Harbor. Mm-hmm. The bill passed, get this, 388-25.
It overturns all of 230?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's deadly to conversation online. That means basically that any site is going to play safe by the interaction.
It's responsible.
And they're responsible, so they're not going to allow any interaction. So that really
sucks.
Yeah, because
if I had a comment section on Twit and somebody put something libelous or nasty or defamatory or whatever on there, I could get sued.
Even why is there not more of an – I did not see this. Why is there not more of an why are we not
it happened today.
Yeah, but well, we've been warned about this. We've been talking about it for a week.
I know, but we've just been not seeing any coverage.
No. Now the Senate has to vote, but now is the time absolutely to write or call your member of Congress, particularly your senator, and say, please, you have to vote against FOSTA. Do not be fooled into thinking this somehow has anything to do with sex trafficking. It doesn't.
No. Yeah, I saw it on Jezebel, I think yesterday. Ours had a story today.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the New York Times and the Washington Post and the CNN and places where it makes a difference.
And, and look at the fact that this is what's really important. Because there hasn't been a public hue and cry on this, the House, which should know better, passed it 388 to 25.
Oh, God.
So that just shows that there isn't a general understanding in Congress about why this is a bad idea.
And this is why I have a fit about the moral panic, because now anything you do against technology is going to go swimming through the political realm because technology is bad for us.
EFF writes, the tragedy is that FOSTA isn't needed to protect or sue sex traffickers. As we've said before, Section 230 simply isn't broken. Right now, there's nothing preventing federal prosecution of an internet company that knowingly aids in sex trafficking. That includes anyone hosting advertisements for sex trafficking. That's explicitly a federal crime. The website that produced the most discussion around this issue, Backpage.com, is reportedly under federal investigation. The array of online services protected by Section 230 and thus hurt by FOSTA is vast. Review sites, online marketplaces, discussion boards, internet service providers, any news publication.
Even news publications with comment sections. This affects us all in media.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, if this passes.
My blog with comments.
Yes. If this passes, comments are gone. I'm not going to have comments on my blog. That's for sure. It puts Reddit out of business, I would guess, literally out of business, and anything like Reddit.
Is disastrous.
Yeah. And you're right, Jeff. Where's the mainstream coverage of this?
That's my problem. Remember, Stacey, you're right. It's in the tech world, but unless this passes over into the Pippa Sopa, Pipa Creepa, whatever the hell those were.
Well, this is like SESTA, which we're able to bring down. It's terrible. But
I think Teen Vogue had something.
Teen Vogue, right on Teen Vogue.
Yay. It's too depressing.
We did stop SESTA, but now there's FOSTA. Honestly, the best thing you can do at this point is call your senator. If it passed by that vast margin across all party lines in the House, it's almost certain to pass the Senate, right?
Yeah.
I would guess. Fortunately, the president will never sign this into law. That's a joke. That's facetious. He will. Logan Paul's back. Didn't last long. Oh, but he's on 90-day probation. Super secret double probation. And nothing more to
still
say.
Still not that. Eligible for YouTube's preferred ad program.
Well, preferred. But that, you know, we're just going to make sure he's good for a while.
So this ties into the Little Things story, as far as I'm concerned.
The death of Little Things.
Which is, Little Things is not in the least bit offensive, but it is a child, it was a child, it is now a dead child of the business model of going after volume and going after attention that leads to all this. So Little Things was a really fluffy little publisher that did little restaurant things or recipe things and other stuff, and it built on top of Facebook. And so Facebook changes the algorithm to get rid of dumb shareable stuff. And there goes Little Things and they're closing.
Oh,
and some people on Twitter said, when I noted this, they said, well, people lost their jobs, which I feel bad for. Other people said, well, live by the platform, die by the platform. Okay. But my argument here is that it's bigger than that. The business model behind Facebook said, let's reward shareable content. So companies were created and detours, media companies were made to, let's make lots of shareable content. And then that makes for a really rotten experience. And then Facebook finally says, oh, that was crappy. Let's get rid of all that shareable, yunky content. And then boom, down go those companies. What's wrong here is the business model behind all of this that goes for volume's sake, and that rewards dreck. So the real question is, what's quality? How do we get to quality? How do we reward that? How do we refigure that out?
If you look at this, the site is it's almost, it's not demand media, but it really is clearly.
It's very close. I'm
calculated
not
to generate, to generate traffic, because their subject matter is food, parenting, pets, and DIY.
Now, mind you, I was a TV critic. I'm not exactly sitting on a high horse here. I started Entertainment Weekly. I'm not exactly sitting on a high horse. I'm okay with fluff. I get it. I get lifestyle. I get service. But this is just.
And look at how they do this. I mean, here's their article. I put a wacky doggy leotard on my dog to see if it would help with her anxiety and dander. And, of course, a big button, share on Facebook, right?
Yep.
And that's what this is all about. This is actually an ad. I take it back. This is thinly veiled as editorial. It's actually
an ad. Oh, it is. Oh.
So let's, by the way, it doesn't say ad when I click the link.
Oh.
Yeah. How about this? 18-month-old.
Well, is that an advertisement?
Maybe they're not ads. Then maybe this just, what does this mean?
No, I don't think so. I don't know.
Maybe there's my ad blocker's blocking the ad. That's what Let's turn off the ad blocker. There we go. Now we can see the ad. There is the ad.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And by the way, the ad does feature a number of fine dog sweaters and leotards. All right. I can't warn this, but this is a whole category of content that, I mean, you know, Mashable's struggling. Mashable just got sold. There's a lot of sites that are going to disappear.
Even Vox laid off last week.
Yeah, Vox laid, 50 people off? Yeah. I thought Vox, if anybody, Vox, did they say why they laid those people off?
Yeah, but I think they also said they're going to be strong and fun. I think they will be. They just, some of the things that were getting rewarded aren't rewarded now.
So this is just what's happening across the board.
The Atlantic's hiring more.
Good. Racked, Curbed, SB Nation. Those are the three Vox properties that are going to be hardest hit by the layoffs. So yeah, those are probably sites that generate that got a lot of traffic from Facebook. BuzzFeed, Mashable, Refinery29 each have made layoffs. Vox, has some big partners. I'm sure they're fine. I mean, they'll be around for a long time, but. Okay. So it's, just one more. But yeah, as you said, live by the sword, die by the sword. Live by the Facebook, die by the Facebook. Oh, you liked the doggy leotard story too, did you?
What?
Yeah, that's what I like too.
Great minds. When it comes to drivel, Jeff and I are in complete agreement.
Hey, my dog has anxiety, and if I thought a leotard would help, I would totally click on that story.
Oh, it does, by the way.
Like the thunder shirt?
Yeah, the thunder shirt.
Okay.
Do you have a thunder shirt?
I do.
Yeah, so do I, for me.
Self up real tight.
Has anybody bought one of those extra heavy blankets?
Oh, the weighted blankets? Yeah. Oh, I met someone who just bought one.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. It was an executive in some IoT company.
So this is, by the way, why Instagram and Facebook ads work. Because we all know about heavy blankets from that, right?
Yeah. And there's
Futurist,
some slipper.
I think it is. Is it Futurist? Made their own. They had their own branded blanket.
Really?
And they sold $5 million worth.
How heavy does a weighted blanket have to be?
25 pounds, I think.
Let's check the chart.
Futurism.
For kids, 10% of body weight plus 1 or 2 pounds. For adult, 10% of ideal body weight, not actual body weight. Yeah, by the way, wait a minute. There's some of the chart's missing. It's missing a couple. So I should, 25 pounds is too heavy. I should probably I should have like a 15-pound blanket. Who knew? The things you learn on this show. Anything else here? What else? Twitter.
Do
bookmarks?
We want to talk about net neutrality?
Yeah. So it's that? Official as of Friday. There is no net neutrality. AT&T didn't waste any time. Immediately started launching fast lanes for its own content.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! For DirecTV, UVerse, took no time.
Now, to be clear, for the longest time, and it's been a while since I have dug into AT&T's network, but for a while they had their UVerse and their own content under, it was a managed service. So it was already going, it was already prioritized.
Yeah, this is basically zero rating. They're saying,
right, this is zero rating.
Yeah, so you won't pay against data fees against any of our services. But it's exactly the same issue. I know it's harder to explain to consumers why not paying for something is bad, but it is bad because it means it advantages their services over competitors' services.
Right.
That do you, right. Like YouTube or Twit, that do use bandwidth.
It's like subsidizing corn.
Wait a second. Do that, and pretty soon all our cars will be running on ethanol.
I was thinking more obesity epidemic and sugary sodas being so cheap, mm-hmm. But yes.
That too.
Now, the one argument that they make that I find a little bit sympathetic, so arguably is well, but if you're running a medical application in an operating room or you're working on a self-driving car, shouldn't that have priority?
So let's talk about that, because this is actually something I report on.
Yes. That was your cue.
You're so good to me, Jeff. Thank you. This is...
an idiot.
No, I think you're a jerk.
I'm a jerk. But Jeff, you're so good.
I am.
So, okay. Backing up. Net neutrality. So... Companies already have an option. They can actually use cellular spectrum or licensed spectrum for these particular use cases, and they can pay to do that. They don't have to use the public internet or my basic home connection. And that's how today a lot of these things are run. Your medical equipment is cellular in most cases. It's not usually Wi-Fi yet because people don't want to make it hackable and all these other things. So there are avenues for dedicated connections for connected devices like cars and whatever.
Very expensive though, right?
They are expensive. And who owns those connections? Well, it's AT&T. And we can make some arguments about the economics associated with the amount of data that these guys carry. And it's frankly not a competitive space. So... yes, it's expensive, but you're paying for that dedication, that guarantee of quality. And then there's also enterprise connections with quality of service guarantees, and you can pay that as a business if you want. What's likely to happen is for cars, you're going to have a dedicated car connection. You're not going to rely on just generic internet. For prescribed medical devices, I think that's one area where it gets really interesting. And I don't actually know where that's going to happen or like how that's going to play out. I don't like the idea of giving that paid priority because I don't actually think it's necessary. I think there are technological and business things that could happen first that may not happen because we don't live in a competitive market, however. So that's that.
Thank you.
Oh, Leo left. It must be because we called him a jerk.
We took over. Finally, the revolution has come. We are Leo-less.
And I'm curious because like the states are now doing.
Here comes the jerk.
I thought you two should have a little moment together.
You know what would have been awesome is if you kind of just burst out of the. You're just like.
Now they have to reset all the cameras because I moved your avatars around. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Engineers now have to fix what Leo broke. We should mention that now that net neutrality is officially dead, the lawsuits can begin. It will remain dead until such time as a judge says, no, we need it. And there is also a bill in Congress, I think, to restore it. And, of course,
yes,
many right. districts and states Washington, D.C., I mentioned districts. Washington, D.C. has created a very strong net neutrality law for itself. So we'll see.
Texas will never get one.
Yeah. The eyes of Texas are...
Home of AT&T, not going to happen.
Yeah. So...
I don't know. Do you want to kill this show? Are we done? Or do we want to do...
Is there anything else to talk about, or we could do your
I'm
picks?
Looking.
We talked about right to be forgotten. We talk about that quite a lot. And I don't know if, Jeff, you saw that Google's researchers looked at the requests that had been made for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't... This is more like a Jeff thing. I'm not like super...
Hit it, please.
Other than what I thought was most interesting is most of the requests were coming from a few people, and the requests in certain countries were focused on news articles, and in others were focused on search results. So I thought the breakdown was kind of interesting, but I didn't have much to say beyond that, I'll be honest.
So 11% comes from government and corporate, 89% from individuals.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. What information is requested for delisting? Professional information, 25%. Self crime, 8%. Professional wrongdoing, 7%. Sensitive personal information, 2%. So it's pretty small. So it's people and their reputations.
Yeah. And
what I thought was interesting is what a large percentage Google fought and successfully fought. It's almost half. Yes. Right?
Yeah.
Well,
I think it was slightly more than half, wasn't it?
Well, isn't that also, Google's not fighting it. Google's just saying we choose not to do this. This is the irony. You tech companies are too powerful. Now let's give you some more power.
Right.
So that's exactly what they've done with both Right to be Forgotten and the NetzDG in Germany, where they're getting Facebook especially to take down hate speech and stuff, and they're making Facebook decide.
Yeah, which you don't really want to do. I thought there was a process for the Right to be Forgotten, extra Google process.
No.
Judicial process or something.
Yeah, there's kind of a review committee for standards and stuff. But no, that's the thing. They put the and Google and Facebook hate this. They you know, if you tell me it's against the law and tell me I have to take it down,
that's different.
Officials,
yeah.
I'll take it down.
But I don't want to be this decider.
They're the judge and jury and executioner.
So, yeah, Google's only removed about 43% of the requests.
So I think Google's trying to do it responsibly is what that tells me.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Google's also fighting a businessman in the UK who's trying to get a Right to be Forgotten, referred only as NT1 for legal reasons, that articles had caused distress and upset. But Google's saying, no, this is reporting on you.
Let me submit that this then is showing that this has worked.
Well, I think that's a rather strong verdict.
Well, but I mean, we thought it was going to be the end of the world, but in fact, it seems to be working. Google's removed 43% of them, but has not removed, that means 57%.
Well, but I don't know that the 43% they removed should have been removed.
What is the penalty? I mean, there must be somebody looking at what they're doing and saying, no,
not really. Well, that's unless you sue Google. Which is what's happening in the UK. It's the first such case in the UK. And Google's fighting back and saying, no, this involves deceptive and misleading criminal practices.
Yeah.
And so we're not taking this stuff down. And the guy's fighting them.
Well, and how much of this is, because in the UK, their libel laws, for example, are really different. And awful. I wonder how much of this is kind of a
this is what Google device? Says its criterion is, quote, that they review each request on a case-by-case basis, determining whether content is in the public interest is complex and may mean considering many diverse factors, including, but not limited to, whether the content relates to the requester's professional life, a past crime, political office, position in public life, whether the content is self-authored content, consists of government documents or is journalistic in nature. Now, actually, they don't say what the criteria are. They just say this is what they consider. Yeah. What's weird, I mean, do they make them wear wigs? They must have a board of basically judges. Legal judges.
Well, in the case of the NetzDG and Germany and Facebook, they've hired thousands of people to go over stuff. I'm told they get like 30 seconds to make a judgment.
Jeez.
And that's why, as I think I said last week, that my joke is that satire is dead in Germany.
Right.
As if it was ever alive.
The joke, by the way.
That's the joke. But if you have the slightest doubt now, out it goes. And you have very little time to decide something that has some nuance to it.
I wonder if they... Oh, wait a minute. Yes, the European regulators did publish way back when the criteria. The interest of the public overrides the right of the data subject. Delisting will not be appropriate. So, yeah, there are some criteria. Well, I'm playing a little bit of devil's advocate here, but I might say that this has not turned out to be the disaster that we were worried about. Is that fair? No,
there's other stuff coming. I think Google has handled it as well as they could. That's what I'd be fair saying. Given this lump of coal.
And, you know, putting out some research on it is helpful so you can see what's been done. Mm-hmm. I was actually distressed about the miners it's a relatively small percentage of overall, but I'm like, God, I hope all of their stuff was kind of expunged. Even your criminal records can be.
But see, that's the point is I think there is some public interest in having some stuff be eliminated.
As a journalist, I would disagree.
Yeah, well.
What's happened has happened. Rewriting history is always a dangerous thing.
We're at an unprecedented level of being able to find the most minute, insignificant details about someone and then blow those up out of proportion. I mean, that's kind of part of why we are as a society. No, but if I put something stupid when I was 18 years old on a website and it's still searchable, normally that sort of action takes place in an isolation and you don't have to live with that for the rest of your life.
Good segue, Leo.
Actually, Carsten credit for that. He pointed to Quinn Norton's Carsten. Response to being fired at the New York Times for her past. She says it was her doppelganger. New York Times fired my doppelganger. It's actually a great read. It's in the Atlantic.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have even more respect. We should try to get Quinn on this show.
She's great.
Do you have a connection with her?
I don't.
Kevin Mark sounded like he knew her. Let's see if we could figure out a way.
Sure he does.
Yeah,
yes.
Let's figure out a way to get her on because this is a great piece and it really points up some of the problems. And what the New York Times did was very strange given the speed with which they did it. Mere hours after hiring her, they fired her, having looked at some old tweets apparently. So does she have the right for those tweets to be forgotten? No,
she's an adult. So I was specifically talking about minors.
I agree. But I think that I don't know. I do think you can make a case in some cases where this is a good thing. Minors is the best case. Something you did as a kid, which has no bearing on anything in the present, but is still besmirching your record. I think, you know, we expunge criminal records for minors.
None of this takes down the content.
Well, that's the thing.
It's
the wrong source, obviously. You're punishing the search engine instead of the source of the content. So that's clearly broken. I don't understand why they did that. But on balance, maybe this is a good compromise. Speaking of minors, John Oliver's lawsuit has victory.
Yes.
You remember the Murray Energy's CEO, Robert Murray, sued the host of Last Week Tonight after HBO ran a segment criticizing him and the coal industry. A judge, quite rightly, I think, threw that out. Murray Energy says we'll appeal it to the West Virginia Supreme Court. The judge wrote he thought lawyers for HBO and Oliver put forth well-founded and appropriate arguments to dismiss the case. This thing about, like, the First Amendment, something like that.
Yeah.
I guess the First Amendment doesn't protect against defamation.
Right.
All right, I'm going to call it.
You're going to call it?
144 into the show. That's it.
In
the
other, show is dead. Was there anything else in other? I don't think so. No, I think you got it. I think you did it. You see, that's the thing, Leo. I think sometimes you leave stuff out and I look through and no, by God, you found the good
either
stuff.
Either this show, either my watch is stopped or this show is dead. So.
Yeah, I feel like I'm sorry. I'm not very energetic and none of the news.
It's a, you know,
agree, are we?
We can only cover what happens.
What happens? We got it.
We cannot make it up.
Got it.
We cannot make it up. Stacy, do you have an item, a thing you would like to talk about, or should I go to Jeff first?
I don't have a thing. I am in search of a thing, and I am dismayed because I cannot find it. So,
you're the thing person. You're the czarina of things.
I know, and
you're the internet of things. There are no new things. Not only is the show shut down, but the internet and the entire world of IoT has just shut down because Stacy has run out of things. She has no things. There are no more things, people. This is a crisis of things. We are thingless.
This show has been Kardashianated. Kardashianated.
No. Okay.
Stacy.
Yeah. Jeff, your Stacy. Number of the week.
Well, I got three or four of them.
Good.
I'm looking for Stacy.
Oh, good. You'll make up for my lack. Excellent.
Yeah. So I got one that I'll do as a number. So Zuckerberg and company just settled for $35 million, a suit over their IPO in which Facebook was not open enough about the risk they had of growth, which amuses the hell out of me, of course, because if you held on to your stock back then, folks, it was fine. It was just fine. That's my number.
Yeah. I mean, actually, if you bought Facebook stock on day one, you've made a lot of money.
Right. But then I wanted to, I was amused. I found someone worse than the worst nightmare of the closet at Twit. Benj Edwards is moving.
I saw this. I want.
And trying to get rid of his collection of computers since 1993.
He kept everything. I've been through all these computers, but I didn't keep any of them.
He kept them. So if you go down in that,
a K-Pro and an Osborne, and
there's an inventory. There it is.
That's a Commodore. I mean, I recognize all of these, and we've had many of them in the basement of the brick house. This kind of looks like the basement did after a while.
Yeah.
The part of that was because people like Benj brought their old stuff. He's moving, I guess. Look at that wait a minute. Go back to that ThinkPad cabinet. That's wild. There's something about people in ThinkPads. They just can't get rid of them. That's amazing.
That's somebody else. That's another guy.
Yeah, that's Tashurinchi. Wow. ThinkPad cabinet. I wish I had a ThinkPad cabinet.
That's like my nightmare.
Well,
like, my god, all this stuff.
I've been getting rid of everything. I was going to make Vero my pick of the week, but now I guess not. Now I guess I don't. I won't. You convinced me. I'm going to, but I like it.
Well, you can still use it.
No, I feel guilty now. I'm supporting.
Well, are we sure or not? I can't.
Well, that's
I
the problem.
This came out. It looks like he's. Perhaps not the most, it looks like he's lying about that because they brought up press releases where he was still currently listed as employed there in 2016.
He or some anonymous Wikipedia poster.
Well, the anonymous Wikipedia poster was trying to help him out.
Right.
So
I don't know if he said anything at all.
Lisa Laporte replied to my comment on Facebook.
Yes.
Oh. Wink, starting off with a small test, but I plan to entice them to more shows. That says we're not in. I think next week I'm going to have my wine glass here just to entice them in.
I ordered wine. I was like, hey,
the Wink story is really interesting. I can't wait to do these ads because it's actually, I'm really excited about it. It's more than... At first I thought, oh, this is because there are clubs where they sell extra wine, like winemakers made too much, and then they kind of, they don't, you know, like that's what fab and guilt were, right?
Some of them kind of have fake labels, right?
Yeah.
Fake wineries,
but
right?
Wink isn't that way at all. It's really interesting. They even make a lot of their own wine. There's some very interesting stuff. And I had a glass of some of the best wine I've ever had. And the story, the grapes are picked at midnight. It was this whole thing. It's fascinating. Oh, anyway.
Sounds perfect for the Instagram generation.
Oh, and they have these unusual looking bottles. No, I shouldn't be giving them a free ad, but
yeah, you shouldn't give them a free ad. No,
don't
yeah.
subscribe
especially,
until they're
especially since they're not buying onto Twig.
Don't subscribe until you hear the ad, then use our code or whatever. I don't know.
Right, right.
But no, I was really impressed. Actually, it was they're not aggregators. They're actually a winery in effect. It's very interesting. You think Vero's going to be a flash in the pan like all the other social networks that I joined? And then never, like, remember Mastodon?
Yeah. Like from a week ago?
Yeah, remember them? Whatever happened to them?
What was the open source Facebook?
Hello?
Hello.
Is that what it was?
I'm still Hello. On Hello. No one else is.
One?
Hello. Oh, wait a minute. I went, oh, yeah, you have to get Hello. They don't even have their own domain name. Or something like that. What is Elo? It's get Elo or say Elo or it's Elo.co. Should I log into my Elo? I think I have a log. I think I do still have a login.
There's probably an obit for you there since you've been gone so long.
Whatever happened to you? I have joined so many bogus networks. Let's see if there's. Yeah, there's still people. Oh, they pivoted. Now they're the Creators Network. We're doing a quick survey to find out a little bit more about the artistic composition of the Elo community.
Hoping that you're artistic.
Am I an artist or a fan? I'm a fan. Submit.
They should have you be a patron. That sounds way better than a
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, I'm a patron.
Although it implies you give money. So. Yeah.
So there's nice stuff on Elo. It's not... It looks a little like Pinterest these days. It's got lots of stuff, art stuff on it.
All right, it's dead.
Done. Sorry.
Forked, I've gotten isn't it?
We've been Kardashian-assassinated.
Next week, I'll have all kinds of things.
It's as if we've come out of the meat ager, or the meat the thing.
The meat hanger?
Well done.
Meat hanger. Yeah,
we're having a hard time. That's, yeah. I'm sorry.
Next week we will be in Austin, Texas. I will not be here. Jason Howell will be handling the show. Stacy and Jeff will be there, I hope. But I will be flying down to see you, Stacy. The panel Woo. That Stacy's going to be moderating at the at Antone's at the Capital One House. You may be moderating, but I will be doing the ads, if that's okay with you, Stacy.
Oh, yes. And if you, I was surprised. You may moderate the panel if you'd like. I just was like, oh.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the expectation is.
Where does the audience get the most value of your knowledge?
I think we should just all talk at once. Nobody
we'll
should
just
moderate
talk.
It. we'll figure it out. I hadn't even thought of that, to be honest. You should moderate it, absolutely. But I need to do the mechanics of it because it's a Twit special.
Yes, yes. Afterwards, I was like, oh, of course he's going to moderate.
Not necessarily moderate, but I'll introduce it. I'll introduce you. I will do the ads, but I will let you run the questions and the answers. Lisa just told me I'm moderating it.
There you go. Just listen to Lisa.
That's what the sponsor bought. Yes.
I do like, you know, moderating because then I can eat my breakfast tacos while everyone else talks. I'll be like, here's a question for y'all. Go.
Apparently I'm... You know, it's going to be, it's loose moderation. You know me.
There you go.
You'll be, at some point I'll get up and leave and you can talk with the other people. Just call me a jerk and I'll go. It's no problem. It's no problem at all.
I have a big problem with people who make fun of the way girls talk.
I will never do that again. Can I make fun of the way boys talk?
You can make fun of the way boys talk. That doesn't bother me.
Jeff, does that bother you?
Well, yeah. Jeez. Like, you know,
I can't do any voices anymore. They're all offensive to somebody. So
they're all verboten.
I'm just going to talk like myself from now on. I hope you enjoyed this show. I did. I had a great time. Please stop by. We do it Wednesdays at about 1:30 in the afternoon. Pacific time, 4:30 Eastern, 21:30 UTC. You could join us in the studio, in fact, if you want. Just email tickets at twit.tv. Leo's here from Belgium and Greece. Figure that one out. I don't know. But we have matching teacups, so that's what really matters. We both have screensavers mugs. If you want to be here, email us, though, ahead of time so we know, and we can put a chair out for you. Tickets at twit.tv. If you want to watch live, you can as well on the stream, twit.tv/live. You know, YouTube's turned on live transcription, so I guess you can watch and read.
That is cool.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool.
It'll not understand me at all.
Well, it's computer-generated, so it will be amusing. To say the least, as it tries to figure out what voice.
I've been trying, so with my tennis elbow, I was trying to use dictation in Google Docs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really bad.
Really?
I thought it'd be really great. Like it. Oh, it was, well,
Android
for me,
does well. The Google Assistant does
Android
well.
Does well, but in Docs Google Docs.
So well. Interesting.
It's really weird.
The hardest thing for Google Docs dictation is thinking the right way to say what you're trying to write.
As with all of this stuff.
Yes. I was just reading stuff. I'm from all that pile of books I have over there. I'm
taking notes.
I've got 85 pages of notes that I'm transcribing quotes.
Right.
So luckily today I found something that was in the Gutenberg project.
Oh.
So I could just cut and paste out of it what I wanted to. It was very nice.
Somebody's taken the time to type it in for you.
Yes.
Let's see what else. If you want, you can download on demand copies of this show at twit.tv/twig. You can also subscribe in your favorite podcatcher, and that way you'll get every episode the minute it comes out. I'm so glad you were here today. We'll see you next time on This Week in Google. Bye-bye.